Hello and welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires. I'm Jack, Bottom Bunk Austin, and I'm joined by my brother Max, the Eagle Scout Schleicher. Max, what was the one thing that our mom used to make that you loved to eat?
Hash browns, and or when she bought Cinnabons and then just reheated them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with when she bought other food and reheated it as well. God bless her heart, but her shots to goal ratio is not good.
I agree with that. She worked some minor miracles in the kitchen, but they were mostly minor miracles.
Yeah, her stew is basically her squirting half a bottle of ketchup into a pot of hot water.
We tried recording this a second ago, and we cut out. And I don't know if you heard how I described her stew.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said it was pre-diarrhea.
Oh, all right. Well, now that we've reserved our spots in hell, let's move on.
I love our mom, but
yeah, I love her too.
All right, let's talk soccer and not embarrassing stuff about our mother's culinary ability.
Yes. Let's start off this week, like we do every week, with three on, three off. Basically, every week, Max and I choose three things about American soccer that has made us happy over the course of the last 7 days, and three things that have driven us deep into the bowels of despair. This week, Max, I think you're up first. What is the first thing that you're going to put on the field? What has given you
Number
joy?
Number one, giving me joy, putting her on the field, Megan Rapinoe. The Washington Spirit had a game against the Seattle Reign in the opening weekend of the NWSL, and Megan Rapinoe was sharp as a tack. She had a goal and an assist, bossed the whole game around, and coming into the game, I was excited to watch it because it was the Spirit, who are the banner bearers of the youth movement in the NWSL. Pretty much every talented young American player seems to be playing for the Washington Spirit versus Seattle Reign, something like the old guard. And in particular, the Mallory Pugh, Megan Rapinoe matchup, it was a big one in that game. But Rapinoe was basically, as I said, just bossing the entire game, showed her stuff from start to finish, was involved in all sorts of was involved pretty much in the entire Seattle Reign offense, and then had the goal and the assist. So great weekend for her. It also created a moment. So she scored on a free kick, and it created a moment when the announcer for the Seattle Reign said, I quote, "You can see the wicked banana bend on that."
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We made fun of announcers last week, so we don't have to do it this week.
We don't have to retread it. And mostly I was actually, after having so many negative thoughts about announcers last week, watching the NWSL and MLS this week, I was like, you know, actually, I should take back some of that stuff. I really enjoy some of those things. But that was particularly egregious. You can see the wicked banana bend on that.
It's like a Tobias Funke line.
It was really bad. And, yeah.
You could see the wicked banana bend on that. Caught a little piece of the post on the inside. Bledsoe gave every possible effort.
It was also an interesting game to dig into it a little bit more. I mentioned the Washington Spirit as being the banner bearers of the youth movement in the NWSL. You know, this is sort of this is Mallory Pugh's second season. This will be the second season of Rose Lavelle whenever she's healthy again, and it's sort of a put up or shut up season, not for them as players, but for the Washington Spirit. Like, they really need to step up if they're going to have all these young players. Unfortunately, they lost for them, but as I said, a great game for Megan Rapinoe, delivered the win for Seattle.
Awesome. Max, I have a surprise for you.
Yeah, what's up?
It's not going to be quite as shocking as the time that I pulled down my pants and sang "Womp, There It Is" at our older brother's slumber party, but nonetheless, I think you're going to enjoy it. And that it's, I'm not going to do three off this week. Instead, I'm going to just keep the positivity flowing and tell you about three things that have made me
six on. Is this a friendly?
Yes, it's International Friendly Week, and I also thought, you know, I always talk about being more positive, but I think I want to come on and get happy. And you're not going to be able to hear this, but I am currently right now playing Leland Palmer singing "Come On, Get Happy" in the background. So,
okay,
I'm also going to say three things that have made me happy about U.S. soccer this week. And the first one is coastal liberal elites. And what I mean by this is that we're 3 weeks into the MLS season, and all four teams from New York and Los Angeles are looking good. Maybe LA Galaxy has been a little bit mediocre, but with the signing of Zlatan, and we'll talk about that more later, they've injected more vitality and interest into the league than any Diego Rossi, Carlos Vela link-up play is capable of. And suddenly, LAFC have an interesting rival. On the other end of the continent, New York Red Bulls are playing all the kids we asked them to, cranking out wins, and NYCFC still haven't lost a game. So a deep-hearted thank you to the coasts from the middle of flyover country.
Well, straight from the heart of flyover country, I'm going to counter you and say that my next on is Federico Higuain, who joined the 50-50 club this weekend, having a beautiful assist for Columbus, and really generally playing a great game. And it Columbus is also just bossing the MLS. I keep using that word, but they're playing great. And one of the things that, you know, you, as a fan, you have these sort of like dumb things that you like about just the way players comport themselves.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I loved watching Columbus and DC United this weekend was the group celebrations of Columbus. And what I mean is that whoever scores a goal, everyone is suddenly jumping on top of each other. It's less of a moment of the one person's brilliance, knee sliding in the corner, arm raising, pointing to themselves, all that kind of stuff. But really beautiful, beautiful kind of team spirit with Columbus. And maybe the sense too, you see the way they run that offense, and you see that Jossie Sardes is not even like the main threat, or the spotlight doesn't come on him. And maybe that's why he's performed so well, is that they as a team just seem to have such parity in their offensive potency that they can score a lot of different ways. They can build up a bunch of different ways. And at the heart of that, obviously, is Higuain, who joined the 50-50 club. So congrats to him.
Awesome. They do seem to have a lot of composure in that final third. MLS goals used to more be about defensive mishaps and just kind of like being gritty in the box, muscling defenders. But watching the crew play, they do seem to sort of have like a balletic ability to find each other and make space for each other. I have enjoyed watching them play. My next thing that has made me happy this week is GQ Magazine. This week, the editors of GQ made a list of the 14 best new menswear items to buy. And on it was the long sleeve home strip of the Houston Dynamo. Here's a quote. "Have you ever heard of something called the Houston Dynamo? Me neither. Cursory Googling tells me they're an MLS team, but I don't really care. All I know is that this jersey would look pretty sick worn with the suit and crispy white sneakers." So that's from editor San Shub, who also recommends velour shorts and a $760 stone field jacket because, quote, why do soccer hooligans get to have all the fun? Notable that
a stone field jacket the kind of jacket that Virginia Woolf wore when she put stones in her pockets on herself?
If so, we definitely...
That's the jacket I would recommend for that editor of GQ.
Yeah, I know. He also says that Paisley used to be reserved for, quote, rich guy ties, but then he goes on to recommend a $140 Paisley polo. So clearly he's a doofus, but this made me laugh a lot.
Well, I'm glad you're finding the positivity in that moment, because, yeah, that just makes me gross.
Oh, that it's makes, totally gross.
That is the editorial equivalent of our mother's stew.
Well, I was reading all of his, come on, leave her alone.
And no amount of horseradish is the same.
Our mom has never used horseradish in her life.
When I put
two shakes of pepper into scrambled eggs, she calls them spicy.
Well, the horseradish at least is my strategy for surviving the stew, just to throw some in so it's all just spicy and comfy, and I don't have to taste the chunks.
Hot pre-diarrhea? Okay, cool. all right, what's your last thing that you're putting on the field this week?
Well, maybe the spirit of positivity, I sort of have two things to talk about, two more, so, and I was trying to decide between them. One I actually forgot to mention last week, which is the CONCACAF Champions League Liga MX Ball Boys. And maybe the ball boys in general, Ego Meckies, are just this great, but like hardly a split second elapses before they have thrown a new ball onto the field or to whatever player is taking the throw. They're just the fastest working people in soccer. And it's like, you just get the sense, especially in a game where like the Liga MX team is down versus the MLS team, they're just like pumping the ball back onto the field and creating like instant soccer. It's one of these weird, like, I don't know. It's almost like it seems paradoxical because so much of soccer is about like kind of milking the clock and da 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 da. But they're just like instantly throwing the ball back in. It's like when you play pinball and you've like sunk the pinball into one of the like magnet powered holes, and then you're like, oh, okay, now I've got a second before that, and then it shoots out like before you can even like have a second to like think about anything like that. So props to them. That's one that I meant to mention last week, but totally slipped my mind.
Well, worth mentioning. What's the second one you'd like to mention?
The second one, you know, is Kellen Rowe, who had a decent game against NYCFC. And before the game, he made some comments about how Brad Friedel is really pushing the whole team and wants every member of the team to – wants there to be two people competing for every one spot in the starting 11. And Kellen Rowe subbed off in like the 60th minute for Juan Aguadelo. But I think for a player like Rowe, I'm really excited to see, A, like what happens when he's given a role and stays in that role. And two, what happens when he's just is pushed with a coach who has really high expectations. So he played pretty well and had some nice movement. He showed the things about Kellen Rowe that I love to see, which is just sort of like aggression, quick passes, and really he suggested that he has a really bright future in their midfield. Obviously, he was still subbed off in the 60th minute, so it wasn't like a home run of a game for him. But it's something for me to watch going forward.
Yeah, that was a good game, too. I think New England will be disappointed that they didn't close that out. NYCFC, I mean, came back from two down, but no, that could have been my game of the week. I don't know. But I've already said how much I love the Coasts, so I won't get into it.
That at the half in that game, it was the breakdown was just awesome, where the Revs somehow had 10 shots in the first half with only 25% of the possession.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Great.
Maybe that was some sort of like statistical counting error by the whoever it is, the Nessun or whoever, whatever media is showing their Revolution game in New England, but it was like, what? And that was kind of like the pace of the game. It was a lot of action.
Awesome. Well, the last thing that I'm putting on the field is the Generation Adidas Cup, where U17 teams from all the best clubs around the world come to the U.S. to play MLS academies. Some notable results so far have been FC Dallas beating Monaco 2-1, LA Galaxy beating Pachuca. The Timbers U17s have lost both their games so far, sadly, by a score of 0-8. That's rough. And as we're recording right now, I think Real Madrid is playing NYCFC. Is that it?
I believe so.
Awesome.
But I'm going to let you check because I have not been following that.
I know. It's not important. Just saying, just something to keep an eye out. This is followed by something that I want to talk about later, too. You know, the Dallas Cup is also starting today, tomorrow, something like that, which is another youth tournament. It's been going on since 1980. And the team with the most titles is, do you want to guess?
Oh, I mean, the Dallas Cup gets the big teams, right?
Yes.
So, has the Dallas Cup only started to like invite the international ones in the last 10 years? This is the tricky thing because mm-hmm. I feel like I want to say like it's Barcelona or someone.
Yeah, I understand. So, how about well, that's actually a really good question. I don't know when they started opening it up to the big clubs, but I will say that so the FC Dallas are the reigning champions.
Okay.
The year before that, you're Everton.
Okay.
Yep. You're never gonna guess this team, so maybe I should just tell you. It's a team called Tahuichi from Bolivia.
What?
They won four Dallas Cups in a row starting in 1987.
the golden age of Bolivian soccer. Whatever that, happened to those guys? That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So I just watched this short documentary about Tahuichi. It's still a great academy. They play on dirt fields, you know. They don't have a whole lot of amenities, if you will. But, I mean, I'd never heard of them in my life. So Tahuichi has 4 titles. Sao Paulo has 3. There's a bunch of clubs with 2 titles, like Real Madrid, Tigres, Corinthians from Brazil. And then, everyone else just has 1 title. Some notable clubs, Dynamo Moscow, Everton, FC Dallas, Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Liverpool, West Ham, Pumas. So great tournament, and definitely something that those of us who are interested in playing your kids can keep an eye out for.
Yes. In other words, I was way off. Okay.
Well, I set you up to fail.
Yeah, you did, absolutely. Are there any notable Bolivians from those teams? Did you look that up?
Yes. So Tahuichi is so unknown, really, that they don't have an English language page. They have one in Spanish, they have one in Norwegian, and then they have one in Japanese. So
okay.
Yeah. So the big players that have come out of there, Marco Echeverri, Erwin Sanchez, Luis Cristaldo. So no major stars, but some notable players at least.
That's amazing.
They've won over 100 youth tournament titles.
What?
Yeah, since 1978.
What?
Yeah, and their stadium has a capacity of 38,000. Yeah, so I don't know.
38,000?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about this this team. I only had time to watch like a short 2.5-minute clip about them. But and it seems like their Wikipedia page in Spanish is sort of written by somebody at the club. It kind of reads like propaganda, so I'm not going to – I'm going to take everything with a grain of salt.
All right, well, you do some homework on that. Well, let's discuss this more next week. So that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's totally fascinating. But let's move on to the big news. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, how are you feeling?
How am I feeling? Are you talking to Zlatan?
I would be terrified.
Zlatan is probably feeling terrific. He's living his, like, 7th best life, by which I don't mean his 7th in, like, ordinal sense, but in, the like, his 7th consecutive best life. He is, you know, living large. He's probably already on some sort of Herbalife diet provided by the galaxy. And so rich, he doesn't have to worry about only making $1.5 million or whatever it is for the galaxy this year. I mean, for me as a fan, it's intriguing, and it's really kind of a litmus test. I've seen a lot of people online. I think you maybe even tweeted something about this, that that this is like kind of an old MLS style of move, signing an older player. Except he was just on Manchester United last year and really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, so at first I wasn't very excited. It did feel like a signing from MLS yesteryear. A star not on the wrong side of 30, but on the wrong side of 35. And he's coming off of a major injury. But,
yeah.
I mean, and I also felt like, oh, maybe he's coming to America in order to build his brand. I also don't buy the argument that Zlatan is in the same league as Ronaldo and Messi. I saw Adam Bell said that to our tweet. Love Adam. But I don't think he's that level anymore, maybe 3 years ago. But then I realized that I was just being a giant dick, that this is empirically a good thing, but maybe I'll let you say something about that, because I feel like I'm already rambling.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think the thing about Zlatan is he's always had a big question mark around him, because like how good would he be if he, you know, were playing in the Premier League? And then we didn't even get to answer that question until recently. And so there was a sense of, you know, he was maybe like accumulating goals in lesser leagues and just looking like this badass. But like, was he really of the level of like a Messi or a Ronaldo, as you're saying? But I think he's, you know, shown that he probably was at his peak. And as you said, the injury is a huge question mark. But how many teams are there in the world who wouldn't sign Zlatan for $1.5 million?
Yes, that is something that really helps me learn how to love this move, is that he comes so cheaply.
Except for maybe the top 4 or 5 teams in the Premier League, and like the a few Champions League teams, like most teams would say, yeah, I would take Zlatan, period. Would I take him for $1.5 million? Oh, yes, I'd take him yesterday for that much money. Like, it's not even just that it's cheap. It's like most teams would want a player of that quality. Because the risk, okay, he's on your team, he's not great, whatever. The money, fine. The upside is so huge.
Yeah, I mean, just like thinking about, okay, so who makes $1.5 million per year in the MLS? So it's like Bradley Wright Phillips. Alejandro Bedoya makes 1.2. You know, Fernando Adi makes 1.7. So, even for MLS standards, this is a bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. So for anyone who may have not ever been a soccer fan in their life, what's the scouting report on Zlatan? What do you tell them to expect?
I would tell them to go on ZlatanIbrahimovic.com and look up his list of trophies, which is written in all caps. Zlatan has won a trophy every season of his career since 2001. He has won the league in 13 of the 15 seasons he has played abroad. He has won the league in 4 countries. No one in the world has won in 5. Between 2003, exactly, there it is. Between 2003 and 4 and 2010-11, he won 8 straight league titles. Also has the greatest bicycle goal of all time against England.
Yeah. That sums it up pretty well. He is a high-flying, very proud of himself athlete. So what do you think comes first? Zlatan overhead kick? Or is Zlatan arms out Christ the Redeemer after, like, thank you, you're welcome. I just scored a goal for you after a goal. What's his first move in MLS?
You know what? I'm going to go with bicycle kick because it seems the less logical. I think the thing about Zlatan is that you constantly underestimate him. You constantly think he'll stop doing the extraordinary at some point in time. But why would this be any different? I mean, I know the ACL injury is a big deal, but I mean the standard is lower in the MLS. It's just the truth, and he's going to make a lot of people look really foolish.
He not only will he make people look foolish, he will do great things, but he will also do the simplest things and then somehow take credit for them as if he were God.
Yes,
he's going to make so many tap-ins just look like he just Olay'd somebody. He's just going to be like, you're welcome, America. I just tapped in the ball. Thank you.
Like Bradley Wright Phillips' performance this weekend against Minnesota was maybe the closest thing that we have to like a Zlatan. But now actual Zlatan is coming, right? Like Bradley Wright Phillips makes people, I don't know if I want to keep going on about BWP because it's going to sound like I'm making fun of him, and I don't want to. But I mean, Zlatan is a better player than Bradley Wright Phillips, and Bradley Wright Phillips looks like Pele sometimes.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about Zlatan?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I am a 10 for his personality, and I'd say I'm probably about a 7 for his play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be appointment viewing, as they say, whenever he does debut. I know there have been some rumors that it's going to be for the LA Derby, but we'll wait to see. He is an old man with like 1.5 knees or whatever, so there's some concern to be had there. So I think that his debut is going to be big. It's going to be fun to see him, and I'm happy that he's going to an evil team like the Galaxy.
Yes, I mean, I have really been enjoying LAFC, and this also just makes that plot so much juicier. Do you want to talk about the poll that you ran on Twitter?
Yeah, before I do that, I was going to ask you, what are the odds that that Zlatan ends up playing in CONCACAF Champions League?
Like next year? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I guess my instinct is to say something like 40%. But, I mean,
doesn't it just seem to you like potentially so delightful to have Zlatan playing CONCACAF games?
Oh, absolutely. a competition that is probably the best example of human beings getting under the skin of other human beings. And Zlatan is like the Machiavelli of soccer. So I would love to see that happen.
All right, so let's go to the poll, though. I would be delighted for any CONCACAF games with Zlatan in it, absolutely. But the poll that we put on our site, do you have it ready? You want to read it?
Yeah.
Put on our Twitter account, I should say.
Yeah, so you asked, if Zlatan weren't Zlatan, he would be A, selling pot to your uncle, B, wrestling semi-pro, C, promoting his Pornhub, or D, all the above. All the above. And the results were 17% said selling pot to your uncle, 17% said wrestling semi-pro, 33% said promoting his Pornhub, and 33% also said all the above, which means that 66% of the people think that he would be promoting his Pornhub. And then I was thinking, you know, his Pornhub probably wouldn't need that much promotion. I think it would have
Yeah, but Zlatan himself does not need promotion, but Zlatan loves promoting Zlatan.
Yeah, he is box office gold.
I mean, he has a website that literally just makes sure you understand how many championships he's had in how many different countries.
Yes. Yeah. And it's as if he's wearing one of those sandwich board advertisements that just has his own name on it.
I am thrilled for all of this. And I'm also, you know, excited to see how he plays against scrappy MLS-y games and potentially CONCACAF games down the road if we are so lucky that the world aligns for that to happen.
Oh, good night. Tweet us at SoftTattooFC, softtattooedmillionaires@gmail.com if you want to send some hate mail. Good night or good day, whatever you're doing.
Good night, America. Keep enjoying soccer and watch out for that wicked banana band.
You can see the wicked banana band on that Honolulu piece of the post on the inside.